Easter here at Cornerstone has been wonderful. No. I am not going to preach to a dead congregation. You are going to wake up. You are going to start giving praise to God. I don't care who you are. Get it up. Let's go. Okay? Easter here at Cornerstone was great. Palm Sunday here at Cornerstone was great. We watched the Lord on Palm Sunday multiply the loaves and the fishes. We started out with 7 baptisms, and we ended up with 15. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency in life to get fixed in on the problems, don't we? And when we center our attention on what's wrong, we often miss what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. So right now, before we go any further in service, we're going to give thanks to God. We're going to say, thank you, God, for a great Easter at Cornerstone. Let it go. Praise God. Wake up. And while you're giving thanks, you need to give thanks to Paul, who is our new worship director, and all of the musicians and the readers who made the past 2 Sundays great Sundays here at Cornerstone. It has been a wonderful Easter Sunday. Now today, get ready. Today we return to our study of the book of Acts. And as I wrote this sermon, I felt the need to apologize to you for the text. But I decided not to apologize. See, the dilemma is that this sermon may be painful. It may even be cutting, particularly to the men of this congregation. Now, guys, I'm going to ask you to do something that is probably going to offend every woman in the congregation. Okay? But I don't care, because this sermon is about you and where you are. I want you to take your right hand right now and put it right here. Do it. I'm not kidding. Put your hand there. Because what's going to happen in the next few minutes is God is going to tell you that he wants to cut you where it hurts. And the question in his sermon is, are you guys going to let God do surgery on you? Are you going to let him cut out of your life what he wants to cut out of your life? Or are you going to hold on to it? Now, ladies, I apologize, because you may find this sermon somewhat objectionable. You may even find the language in this sermon somewhat objectionable. You have heard the scripture passage which was read in your hearing. And some of you may be saying, do we have to sit through this? But you listen to me. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. You may not like it. You may wish God had never put this passage from the book of Acts in the Bible, but he did, and that makes it scripture too. It is scripture. And we are pledged here to study our way through the entire book of Acts. Simple fact is that this passage is scripture. So we need to look at it. And, guys, the knife points directly to the problem. So here we go. Here's where we left things when we turned from the book of Acts to celebrate the great event of Easter. Paul had suggested to his dear friend Barnabas that they go back and visit the churches they had started in the province of Asia. The purpose was to see how those churches were doing and to strengthen them. Barnabas thought that this was a good idea, but he wanted to take John Mark along with them as their secretary. Now, John Mark had started out with Barnabas and Paul when they had began their journey to the churches of Asia a while back. But for some unknown reason, he had turned back and left them in the field. Paul was so offended by what John Mark did that he called it a desertion. He believed that John Mark had abandoned his high calling in Jesus Christ. As a result, Paul did not want to take John Mark along on the second journey. He simply had no confidence in John Mark. I repeat that. He had no confidence in John Mark. Now, Paul and Barnabas had a serious disagreement over this issue. And that disagreement was so strong that Paul and Barnabas split up. Paul took Silas with him and went back to visit the churches he and Barnabas had started in Asia. Barnabas took John Mark and sailed in the opposite direction. The bad news was that Paul and Barnabas, who had been good friends and brothers in Christ, split up over the person of John Mark. The good news is that there were now two missionary evangelistic teams that were carrying the message of Jesus Christ to the entire world. And to make this really clear to you, the split up was not of God. I get so tired of people who look at things that happen and are outside of the biblical practice and think that they are of God. God operates within what he tells us in his word. It is not his will, it was not his will, that Barnabas and Paul or any of us split up. It was not God who was working in the split up. But it was God who used the split up, because the scripture says that he works in all things to bring good for his children. That's because he loves us. He knows that we are sometimes ignorant, hard-hearted, and mean. But he can work through ignorant, hard-hearted, and mean to bring about his purpose. And that's what he did. He worked through the circumstances to bring good to the church. Out of it all, God brought good. But the thing itself was not good. Now, the text, which was read to you today, explains that Paul and Silas went to Syria, Cilicia, and Derbe, strengthening the churches that he and Paul and Barnabas had established in those cities. When they came to Lystra, Paul met a young man there named Timothy, who had an interesting pedigree. See, Timothy was a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means Timothy was a Christian. His mother was a Jewess who had converted to Christianity. Timothy's mother was also Christian, folks. She converted to Christianity. But prior to her conversion to Christianity, Timothy's mother had been a Jew. Now, she had married a non-Jew, a Greek. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says it clear. You marry outside your faith, all it's going to do is complicate your life. And we're going to see complications coming into generations of life here. Because what she did was work outside of the scripture. She ignored the warning of God's word, and she did what seemed best to her. She married a non-Jew. She married a Greek. Now, because one's Judaism is traced through one's mother, not through one's father, but through one's mother, Timothy was therefore technically Jewish prior to his conversion to Christianity. Timothy's father was neither a Jew nor a Christian. What religion he practiced, if he practiced any religion, is unknown to us. What we know is that Timothy's father did not want his son to be identified with Judaism, so he had not allowed his son to be circumcised. Therefore, Timothy was technically Jewish according to the Jewish customs, but he was not Jewish according to the same customs because he had failed to be circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses. Despite all of that and all of those complications in his life, he had found his way to Jesus Christ and he was a Christian. Now, odd as it seems, this was a big, big problem in the early church. There were back then some converts to Christianity who insisted that before you could become a disciple of Jesus Christ, before you become a Christian, you had first to become a Jew. And that meant that all men who wanted to be Christians would have first to be circumcised. If you moved your hand, put it back. This was a great hindrance to evangelism. Who would go through that to become a Christian? Now, Paul and Barnabas agreed to disagree with the Christians who were teaching this. The point had been taken to the elders in Jerusalem, and the elders had debated the issue and made a decision that circumcision was entirely unnecessary for Christian men. To the point at hand, there was no need for Timothy to be circumcised before he became a disciple of Jesus Christ, because the elders of the church had ruled it was unnecessary. Now, what do we do, folks, when the elders of the church rule and we don't like their ruling? What do we do? How do you get along in God's world, God's way? Okay, we trust and obey. So if God speaks to the elders and they make a decision, we trust and obey. You know what that means? It means we stop arguing the point. We give it up. We trust that God has spoken through the elders and we move on. We trust and obey. But you know what happens with people like us? We forget that the way you get along in God's world is by trusting and obeying and by submitting to the rule of the elders. So we continue the debate. Now, I could get really personal here, okay? Because there are some debates that are going on in this congregation under the scene right now that need to stop. They need to stop because the elders have ruled and that's it. Trust God and obey God. You hearing me? Got your hand there, guys? I'm serious. Trust and obey. Now, Paul was so impressed with Timothy that he wanted to take Timothy along with he and Silas as their secretary. But he felt that before he could do that, to appease those who had not accepted the rule of the elders, Timothy would need first to be circumcised. So Paul asked Timothy if he would agree to be circumcised so that Timothy could become his secretary. Paul even agreed that if Timothy agreed to it, he would personally do Timothy's circumcision. That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Guys, got your hand there? What would you have said had you been Timothy then? I mean, seriously. If God is calling you to some ministry, just as he was calling Timothy to the ministry of secretary, and the requirement of that ministry was that you be circumcised, would you accept the call or would you turn it down? Oops. The knife is pointing to the problem. Now, in the story, it's all made more difficult by the fact that the elders had ruled that circumcision was entirely unnecessary. Paul was asking Timothy to submit to circumcision to keep people who had no basis for complaining and questioning, to keep them from assuming that Timothy was unqualified to serve in the office to which God was calling him. It was just to keep noisy, jealous people quiet. Is your hand there? If God insisted you do this in order to serve him, what would your answer be? That's what Timothy said. He agreed. Now, I want you to understand, the elders had ruled. Timothy would have been absolutely within his rights to appeal Paul's request to the ruling of the elders and to say no to the Apostle Paul. His agreement would not in any way stop the complainers from complaining. In fact, it probably would work just the other opposite way. When they saw that Paul had circumcised Timothy, they would assume that Paul now agreed with them. And can I be really honest? It ain't nobody's business if Timothy's circumcised. It is, after all, an extremely private matter. But Timothy submitted to circumcision. Why? Because he was totally and without reservation committed to following God's call no matter what. No matter what. He was willing to endure the pain of circumcision to please God. Now, what happens in this passage from Acts is that two men are set side by side for our comparison. On the one hand, there is John Mark, who apparently initially, he came around after time, but who apparently initially put personal matters above his calling by Jesus Christ. On the other side, on the other hand, was Timothy, who put his calling above everything else in his life, even his... And the scripture asks, especially the men who are here in this congregation today, which one of those two guys you are most like? Will you hold on to something above God's call? Or will you let God cut it off? Will you let God cut out of your life that which displeases him so that you can serve him above all else. Even if it hurts and causes you